This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me, or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
How about a happy birthday out to Troy Aikman, Bulldog?
All right.
Yesterday, I think it was.
I think that's right. I saw that on Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
Yeah, good.
Is it the same, mostly? It looks different, but is it kind of the same?
It looks exactly the same on my phone. I don't have it on the desktop in here yet. On my iPad, it looks very different. Sort of like a, I don't know, like a wannabe. But you know, like
it is.
Right. But it looks like a not as refined version of Twitter on my iPad. Maybe I need to update that. I don't know. I did just get an update today. I haven't looked. But on my phone, it looks exactly the same. Hmm. So, fine. You know, it's we'll see. I just wanted to be over there in case. You just never know. I don't know if the thing's gonna blow up or what. It's not like I'm leaving X/Twitter in a rage or something. I still like it and use it for work, but I just wanted to be prepared. So I'm trying to remember, the hockey game's on. Hey everybody. I'm over here too. Just trying to say hi, just trying to stay active, but it's hard to get a new habit like that.
Yeah, that's what I think. Our next guest here joining us now on the Wester Hotline has become a very popular recurring visitor to our show. The panels we send out, Bulldog, very favorably toward Theo Gremminger, who joins us now to talk some fantasy football from Player Profiler.
I look forward to hearing more about these panels at a later date.
The panels, Theo, they love you.
I love it. I love it, Mike. I didn't even know about these panels, but no.
Neither did I, and I work here.
Shout out to the panels. As you know, we've competed, we've played in leagues together for a few years now, Dynasty, and then also the big tournament stuff. But I don't know about you how much, so as they call it, redraft you play, where it's like not dynasty, new draft every year, and you can trade, you know, like basically most home leagues. Because if you got to probably play some of it, this week right now and around it is really like the best for trades, because you've got, or even maybe a little late for this, but you've got teams that are desperate. Other teams may be up top or just trying to make 2-for-1, 3-for-1 trades for, you know, for studs. How much of that do you play, and what's your strategy when it comes to trading? Because the leagues we're in, many of them, we can't trade at all.
I play a ton of redraft and a ton of dynasty. I'm very much kind of in the streets, Mike, both sides of the fence. I do the high stakes for both. And, you know, I've had some success on the redraft side in NFFC and FFPC like yourself. I would say that I'm a very active trader, but like you said, it's really a dynasty for me, because a lot of the leagues that I play in, I can't trade in redraft. But that being said, dynasty-wise, we've traded with one another. I'm making trades now because a lot of my leagues have the deadline is actually Sunday at like 12:30 Eastern. So this is like the frantic, like last-minute week. But I do think you kind of nailed it, where if you're in a league that still allows trading, potentially even for a redraft league, there's no better time than bye week hell to make trades, because it's a perfect storm where everybody's playoffs start in week 15. So these last few weeks matter a ton. People need wins, and they can't afford to take on a guy on a bye. So there's certain managers out there who are going to take 85 cents on the dollar and tear down to get a guy who's playing this week. And it creates sort of a super team opportunity for a fantasy manager who has the depth to be able to move a strong piece and maybe get a stronger piece. And this week as well, you've got just all these elite players on bye weeks. So people are really, really scrambling. Even in FFPC, Mike, like, I'm scrambling. I know in our Hardway FFPC league, I looked up like a week and a half ago, and I'm like, okay, I have two quarterbacks, and it's Lamar Jackson and Bo Nix. And week 14 is coming around the corner, and I need to add a third quarterback. So I added Will Levis. So, like, things are – you have to really scramble when there's six teams on byes, especially when you have six teams on byes twice in 3 weeks. It's just brutal.
And adding to the dilemma for fantasy players this week, I think, would be, like, with all these teams on bye, and now you've got this Brock Purdy news to worry about. It's like, so not only you could lose him, but then what does that do to – you know, all the rest of their dudes.
Yeah, the Brock Purdy one is just like, you know, it was almost out of nowhere, and then it's just amplifying up. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. It's also the 49ers, so I don't really trust them in anything that they say. I feel like anytime Shanahan's talking to me, I feel like he's giving you like a half truth, if that. So. Yeah, this one is concerning, and it's an MRI, it's a shoulder. These things are troubling. So, do you downgrade these guys a lot? Is there a guy that maybe sees an uptick in usage because of the downgrade at quarterback? I don't know, and we're not really going to see it until we see them actually on the field. And it's a team that's in desperate need of wins moving forward.
Yeah, it's a shoulder. There's an MRI. He's not practicing today. And it started as like, oh, it's just discomfort. He's working his way through it. And now it's like, you know, sounds like alarms are going off. So
Braylon Allen is the backup. They're at Green Bay. And then they're here next Sunday night, because that's the kind of injury that might be like, you know, missed time. So we'll see. Jennings will be the interesting one for me, Theo, on that team. I feel like if it's sort of a stereotype, but you go to a backup quarterback, you lean into McCaffrey, you know, Kittle, I think, is that way. You run Debo Samuel, use your guys. Jennings is the one with Purdy that's just like exploded, and somebody that if you picked him up on waivers this year, you've been rich for it. He's to me, I don't think I would bench him. Would you bench him in like sort of neutral situation here if Purdy missed? He'd be the one where I'd come the closest.
Yeah, I think that We don't really know, because it seems like there's such a connection between the two of them. Do things stay somewhat similar with Brandon Allen? I don't know.
Brandon Allen, sorry.
I would think that there's a potential uptick in CMC touches, But, man, I mean, it kind of makes you like the like using the opposing defense looking for an edge fantasy-wise. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is sort of just out of nowhere. It's been a slow drip this week, and now it's starting to kind of amp up. So, to be honest, I haven't really put as much thought into it. But Jennings was a guy who, you know, you're getting wide receiver one production out of and wide receiver one usage out of him, and now you have a massive variable. I still think he's probably a starter this week for people, Mike, because of the all the teams on buys. So depending on your options flex-wise, if there was a quarterback change, I'd probably leave him in there and risk it, but I just downgrade my expectations a little bit. But, I mean, the guy has been looking fantastic. So the quality of play won't be an issue. It's not like he's just been elevated because he's been hyper-targeted. He's looked very good as well.
Right. Yes, Brandon Allen. Braylon Allen is the running back on the Jets. Right.
Braylon Allen at quarterback would be a fun one, though. You line up the Wildcat with Braylon Allen. I might like that better than Brandon Allen.
I've got teams where I'd love to see him just do anything. So let's go.
There you go.
You know, best ball teams. No Devontae Smith for the Eagles. That's been made official today. They're at the Rams Sunday night. The Eagles have, for a long time, Theo, been an easy one. You start Hurts, Barkley this year, Brown and Smith and Goddard usually, and there's almost never anyone else to consider when it comes to Philadelphia. This week, I suppose there will have to be. If Smith misses the game, what might you think that looks like?
So for me, I still would try to stay away from that situation, trying to chase a second target on that team. And I think if Dallas Goedert probably ticks up, I think that's the safe one, but he's in a lot of starting lineups already. But if for whatever reason you have a he's your tight end too, I think even in a regular PPR format, I'd still be comfortable using him. A.J. Brown has been getting all of the metrics you'd want to see, but they have been passing less frequently. So I think he'll be hyper-targeted. And then, I mean, hey, you're thrilled about anything with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Maybe you see a few more targets for Barkley, but like you said, it's the opponent where there's a chance that game is really trending up, like an over-type environment. So I think there'll be fantasy points to be had. I just wouldn't necessarily try to trust a replacement for Smith. I'd instead just be upgrading my expectations for Goddard, Brown, Saquon, and maybe a few more rushing attempts for Jalen Hurts.
It's just, yeah, I agree. And it's just really hard to know who that even might be. Like, Jahan Dotson has been, like, he's next. He's next when it comes to receptions on the team with 9 for the season, other than the guys you mentioned in Calcaterra, who's the backup tight end that played when Goddard didn't.
Right.
So I wouldn't know. It could be Aeneas Smith, could be Johnny Wilson, could be whoever Britton Covey is. It could be somebody that we would never want to start.
Johnny Wilson's that 6'7" freak show from Florida State, right? Teammates of Keon Coleman.
Yeah, he's the fun one. He's the unicorn athlete. And he did have that big touchdown reception a few games back, but obviously you're not betting on him unless you're in like the deepest possible format and looking for like a lottery ticket speculation type play.
With Theo Greminger on the Wester Hotline, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Let's talk Carolina for a minute. So Jonathan Brooks is expected to make his NFL debut, rookie. He's been out all year. Chuba Hubbard has been pretty playable, though, as the running back, and he got a contract extension by the Panthers, which makes you wonder what that means for Brooks, you know, dynasty going forward. How safe is Hubbard against a Chiefs team that's been great against running backs, and Carolina being a big underdog? You wouldn't want to have to play a running back in that spot. Plus, there's the Brooks element. But Hubbard, you know, the bye week point, he's somebody that you would otherwise want to put in, I think. Would you probably want to bench him if you could?
I'm going to be using him in a few spots. I mean, his quality of play has been so high that and the amount of touches they're giving him, I think that they've already said that they want to, like, ramp up Jonathan Brooks, that Chuba Hubbard is the starter. I mean, Hubbard is the RB12 on the season. The guy's averaging, like, 16 fantasy points, and he's caught enough passes that I don't think that's going to disappear. I think that's sort of the fear that you have with Hubbard is that Brooks absorbs all the running back targets. But I just don't think that that's something that they're gonna do right away. Now, maybe long-term. I think long-term, this is a franchise that overvalues the running back position. They spent all that money on Miles Sanders. That flopped. They drafted Jonathan Brooks as the first running back off the board in the second round when they had multiple other needs. He's missed the entire season so far. And then Chuba Hubbard has been like their one positive success story, and they've made him a top 10 paid back in the league now. But Hubbard really did earn that money. So I think, like, benching him is something that I would really try to avoid. He's got four games this season with more than 20 points scored. And I keep referencing the points per game with him, Mike, because this is a team that is towards the bottom of the league in overall points per game. They average like 16 points as a team. So if Hubbard would have been on, if they would have just been somewhat like of a middling offense, then he would be a guy that people were calling like the league winner in fantasy football.
Yeah.
So I think for them to sort of put him away because Brooks showed up, I think that's something that's not going to happen. So I'm going to be higher on consensus on Chuba Hubbard now and sort of moving forward. And I think if anything, it's going to make them have more running back touches, which is something I think they want to do as a team. You look at the success of Detroit, and I think that's sort of what they want to be. It protects having a bad quarterback situation where next year they're probably going to have a new quarterback as well. Right now they have two kind of bad options, and they protect themselves with running back touches. So we're here. But I think Chuba Hubbard, leave him in the starting lineup, bet on it being similar to what we've seen before. And if you have to downgrade him, it's not going to be that much of a downgrade that he's going to be not playable.
This could be a stupid question. I guess maybe any question, depending on who is being asked, could be a stupid question. But this one in particular, from me, Theo, players who have Mike Evans, have been dying for him to get back, and he's going to be back. Any hesitation on just putting him right back in? The coach is talking about, you know, you got to feel it out and make sure he's okay and all this stuff. And maybe still pretty fresh in your mind is how he initially got hurt long term, trying to play through an injury. Do you trust 100% Mike Evans just go back in?
I mean, I think he's going to be an automatic wide receiver too for people, especially this week. Unless we hear something troubling about the snap count. And maybe we hear something on Sunday morning, maybe on Saturday night, about how they're going to ramp him up with XYZ number of snaps. But I do think that he's going to step into a really big role. I think Liam Cohen is a guy that's very smart, and I think that he's a very capable offensive coordinator. And they've been able to tread water for multiple weeks now with all these running back touches, with a lot of Kate Otten. Now they get back a proper alpha wide receiver in Evans. Look at what Chris Godwin was doing. Look at what Mike Evans did last season. And so Evans this year was sort of a back-end wide receiver too when he went down with an injury. But last year he was the wide receiver 10. Last year he was up there in several categories. He was getting a near 25% target share, tons of air yards, led the league in touchdown catches. I think he's going to step right into a similar role as last year, unless it's health detrimental, but I think that would have leaked out. So I'm sticking Evans in lineups, and Evans has the team has motivation to win games right now, and Mike Evans has motivation, like, because he's chasing history. Mike Evans is 665 yards away from 1,000 yards. He's going to need to run very hot over the rest of the season to hit that, or to at least come close. But if he does it, he's number two all-time behind Jerry Rice. Right now, he's tied for two with Randy Moss. So he's in sort of like rarefied air with where he's been at in terms of consistency. So I think there's going to be some motivation for the franchise to use him, and also Mike Evans to chase history there. And doing it all for the same franchise in today's day and age with all these wide receivers swapping teams, it's really incredible what Evans has done. So I'm gonna trust Mike Evans unless we hear something really troubling about the snap count.
Listen, Bulldog, and his this might be a dumb question. We have one team together. He has two teams, Theo. One in our station league, and then Adam and I roped him in to do a deep end draft with us in the $35 Superflex.
I watched that one.
You did?
Stuff. Yeah, I watched that one.
How did it go? Because I couldn't see anything on the screen as it was happening.
The draft itself, but I like checking out the deep end. Shout out to Adam Krautwurst. I hope you're listening to this, Adam.
16,500 some teams in that thing were 25th.
Oh, you guys are 25th right now. I didn't realize you were running that pure. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's an Evans team. It's a Bucks team.
Right.
Mayfield, Bucky, Otten. Evan, and Otten. Evans and Otten. That's not Godwin. We would never.
Right.
We knew he was going to get hurt. That's right.
In that situation where you're talking about a tournament team where you're in 25th overall, I mean, you're hoping that Evans can just run hot for, you know, the fantasy playoffs. Like, I think that him now, like, you getting up there, you know, towards the top, you're already towards the top. So, you're like, your motivations are slightly different, and your expectations for Evans, like, he could be the hammer that wins you guys $1 million. You know, that should be the mentality now. So almost a slow buildup for Evans would almost be a great thing for you guys,
right,
if he's backloading those points for those magic weeks.
That's right. Take your time, Mike Evans. We don't need him until week 15.
The only credit I will take for this thing.
Healthy, Mike, for Adam and Mike.
Right. The only credit I feel like I might deserve for this is there was a moment pretty late, well, not that late, like middle somewhere, and there's Deshaun Watson, and like the value is really good, and I Mike knows I'm like loath to do that. And so I was hemming and hawing, like, I really don't want to. And Mike aggressively sort of said, no, you know what? We can't do this to Bulldog.
Right.
We're not taking Deshaun Watson. And that turned out pretty well.
We have
dodged the bullet on that one.
Right. We have Mayfield, Caleb Williams, and Bo Nix instead. So
you also get the Mayfield-Evans connection potentially if you guys are chasing points, you know, in week 17. You could potentially overcome some things with it with a nice correlation play.
Sure.
So that's very well constructed team, Mike. Awesome.
They play.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina in week 17, but then, you know, I'm not going to forget that as long as this team lasts.
Tampa Bay has, that's another thing about Tampa Bay is we're sort of upgrading all Buccaneers moving forward because their upcoming schedule is just awesome for the fantasy playoffs. I mean, I wrote about Bucky Irving this week as a guy that I think is going to be a guy who could run hot sort of over the next few weeks. And if you're not a Bucky Irving guy, then probably Rashad White as well. But they've got a number of matchups that just bode very well for fantasy success, including, I believe it's Carolina twice upcoming, right,
Mike? Yep. Giants, Carolina, Raiders, Chargers, Dallas, Carolina. Like, there could be some big numbers there. Mayfield's throwing the ball a lot. Theo, if you don't mind, one more before you go. Just your Bills thoughts here. The Bills being one of these teams on bye, so not really applicable for week 12, I guess we're at. But Cook is having a touchdown year. He's a guy we've gone back and forth on, and he's in double digits already. I mean, that's a lot for any running back in any season. He's done it in, 10 or 11 weeks.
Yeah, I believe he's going to set the all-time record for an individual touchdown score under McDermott. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think he needs one more, and then he's tied Stephon Diggs there. It was interesting because this was a big-time performance. This was the most points allowed at any point in the year by the Chiefs to an opposing running back. But he also played less snaps. Fewer snaps than you would have expected. So the production was massive, and the guy scores nearly 20 PPR points. But in terms of being on the field as much, it wasn't quite the case. So it was a very interesting game. Super productive player. But, listen, if you drafted James Cook, you have to feel great about it. You've had a number of spike weeks. You've had a ton of production. And now he's got the bye week to sort of get himself right for the stretch run. And even if they're not going to play him every down and they're mixing other backs, they're going to get him involved when he's on the field. So, James Cook, you have to feel good about moving forward. And he's been a really great draft pick for you guys. Tons of success. He's the best running back Buffalo's had, fantasy-wise, since Shady McCoy, and it's not even close.
That's right. Allen had the 15 touchdowns last year, but maybe for a skill position player, this would be.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I can't count. He's never, the Allen is Allen, but it's really it's sort of remarkable that no play, like, he's going to be the highest scoring skill position player ever for McDermott on some Bills teams that have scored a ton of points. That's really, really noteworthy for Cook.
Any interested fantasy football player should know Theo and follow him. Theo G Fantasy works in two different ways, Theo G, and that's cool. Press coverage, I've been on some of his streams, player profiler. Theo puts out a lot of content and writing. So thank you for today. Have a good weekend and good luck.
You guys as well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
happy
same to you, man. Yeah.
Thanks, Theo. On the Western Hotline, Theo Greminger right there. Guy is a grinder for sure. I mean that as a compliment. Works. Always there's new content from Theo, like just all the time.
When is Grindr not a compliment?
When you're a hockey player and it's sort of a backhanded compliment.
Right, okay, sure, that works.
It means you really can't score.
Right.
But you'll win those battles. Right. You need a couple of those
guys. There's probably plenty of guys who came through their careers playing whatever, juniors, collegiately, being top line skill guys, and then they get to the league and like, he's a good third line grinder. Like, wait, what? don't hang that on me.
When did I achieve grinder status?
Right. When did I become Dixon Ward? What are you doing to me here?
Football Friday, has the show ever sounded older? Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Fantasy questions, bye week, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. It's time for a break. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Welcome back, everybody. It is contest time. Caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see comedian Tammy Pescatelli November 30th, next Saturday, at Rob's Playhouse Theater. Tickets are on sale now at playhousetix.com. Letters on the telephone keypad.
Yeah.
There are letters on mine. I mean, they're there. I see it. I had to check.
Yeah.
There are letters.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, That never really worked for me.
Letters?
Yeah, I've always, I think if I'd ever had a number that I needed to remember or write down that was like that, I would look at the letters and write the corresponding numbers down just because I'm never going to use the letter. I don't know. I just couldn't. My brain couldn't work that way. I don't know. Just always messed me up. I mean, I know it's not that confusing, but I just
Well, because you can pick different letters for each number.
Right.
That doesn't make it less confusing.
No, that makes it that's it more confusing. That's the thing about it. I think there's because yeah, there aren't 26 numbers on your phone.
No, not even on mine. No, you're right. 24 years ago tonight, I wonder if you will remember this. 24 years ago tonight, November 22nd, 2002, for the first time in their history, the Sabres wore an alternate jersey, red. With the swords.
Oh, sure. That was the debut of the... Yeah, okay.
12-22-02.
Red Hot Fridays.
Red Hot Fridays.
That's what that was called. Later face-off. I can remember talking to Larry Quinn about this way back then. It's better for the... folks want to go out, grab dinner. You know, you're always rushing. Get out of work. Get down to the game at 7. You know, let's give them a little longer on a Friday. Maybe it'll be good for the restaurants in town. And, like, more people will go out and whatever. And that was the idea behind Red Hot Friday.
It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Did it not work?
I don't know.
They didn't stay with it.
I might suspect that the part about people going out to eat would have been helpful, but if you're the Sabres, you'd rather have people coming in the door hungry.
That's right.
Right? And I'll bet folks didn't love 8 o'clock start either, just, you know, because, you know, you're in the habit of a hockey game starting at 7 o'clock and you're home by 10:30 maybe.
Or you're going out after.
Right. But 8 o'clock, just pushes everything back an hour. So, I think both of those things are probably why, but probably more the first about, you know, fans showing up hungry. You'd rather have them come there and buy your $18 hamburger, I think.
Or whatever it cost then.
Right. It probably wasn't 18 bucks, but whatever.
The Sabres won that game, debuting their new red jerseys at home against Columbus, 5-4, to improve to 4-11-3-1. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's the three? What's the one? Which is the three? Which is the one? There's ties
four,
and then...
4-11.
3-1.
Wow.
And the goalie? This is a good little question. Who was in net for the Sabres' first ever alternate jersey night?
I'm going to go Mika Noronen.
Nope. November of 2002. I got to look this up now. This is good. I'm sort of giving hints by saying that.
Nope. Yeah, well...
Dom's gone.
Miller's not here yet. Marty's here, right? By then? I mean, he's drafted in 94. Yeah, he's here by then.
Sure.
And Noronen was here with Miller for a while. I remember all three. Oh, who are they going to trade? I've got three of these guys. They're all young and up and coming and whatever.
05-06, they were all on the team to start the season.
Okay.
Because they had that 10-4 loss. I hate to always think of that game for this, but Miller hurt his thumb, maybe?
Right, in the morning skate that day.
And yeah. Noronen and Baron would have both played probably that night. I think Noronen was...
Okay.
At the beginning of that season, he was around. There was one game against the Rangers, I think it was, where he was incredible.
All right.
So he had all three there.
Okay, so it's not him in 02. It's not Marty either, because you wouldn't be saying it's good.
Marty would be, I think, the obvious
Marty
guess.
Marty would be the easy guy. That's why I guess Noronen instead of Marty, because I don't think you're asking me who it is if it's Marty. So now, boy, I just don't know who else.
This won't help you, but the Columbus goalie was Mark Denis.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's totally useless. Oh, man.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
Virata scored.
Václav Virata. Neckbeard.
And James Patrick.
Jeep. I gotta just say uncle. I'd like to spend more time with it and really, but we're on the radio. People are screaming probably because I'm doing so bad. I don't have even a guess.
It's Miller's first career win.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
0-2?
November of 0-2. It's his second game.
Wow.
And first win, according to Hockey Reference. Would you have ever realized or remembered that Ryan Miller was in net when Verratta was on the team? That, to me, is cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Verratta is over there in the 90s,
right,
and Miller's over here
in the mid-2000s.
In 05-06.
Right, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's, well, I just did not remember him being, I knew he showed up earlier than when he finally really took hold, right? There was a few different moments that I remember. I remember him being really emotional after an early career loss, like before he was really on the team. Maybe it's like a year after or so, this appearance. Because we were working together, I think, when that one happened. And in November of 02, we're not working together yet. We're still, you know, 9 months away or so from being paired up in September of 03. Wow, I'm struggling to have him be here that soon.
I know.
I
mean, this team reads much more like the 99 team than the 05-06 team. Barnes, Curtis Brown, Gratton, Patrick, Chatan, Verratta, Warner, Zhitnik. Ryan Miller played with all those guys at the beginning of his career.
Right.
And one by one, I mean, they were all moved off from,
right,
you know.
Rob's not there.
Rob is there.
He's there. He gets moved in that trade deadline, I think.
I think that's right.
He and Barnes both, same day.
I mean, you have really, like, you're right in the middle from the 99 to the 05.
Yeah.
Like, because you've also got Campbell and Connolly and Dumont and Hecht and Kalinin and Kotalik is in this game. McKee is in this game. Pyatt. And, like, that's the lineup.
Yeah, wow.
It's like half the 99 team and half the 05 team.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's his first career win.
So Miller did that, and then there was a lot of Rochester in between then and when he really took hold here, right? The lockout year he's in Rochester, I think.
Yes.
For that year, right?
Yes.
With a bunch of guys. Pominville, Vanek, Roy, I think.
So that's 405.
Yep.
203, he plays 15 games. The next year he played three, and maybe that's when, like, all right, this is not working. And he went down. He only played three games that season for the Sabres.
Yeah.
But then 05-06 happens, and there he goes.
Do you remember talking to him about, I think it was probably in an off season here, somewhere in between these years. I think he's fully on the team when we have this conversation, but he was on with us maybe a couple of times that he did join us on our show. I remember one time him being very, very open about talking about working with a sports psychologist and how much that helped him. Like, just the mental fatigue of the position and the grind and all that stuff, and how much that helped sort of get him on track. And I always remembered that. Because, you know, I mean, he went on to have, I mean, obviously a highly decorated career in the NHL. And, you know, maybe without getting that sort of assistance, maybe, you know, the thing never gets fully on track for him.
Kind of tiptoeing towards Saber Rando here, and it might be a great day to play. There's a game tonight. There's no Bills game. It's Football Friday. I think this is probably a violation of Football Friday regulations. But you name a random Sabres player, and we just say anything we can think of. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Saber Rando, I mean, not to flatter ourselves or anything, but odds that somebody we could name would be listening? Maybe somebody who had the proverbial cup of coffee for the Sabres, and that was kind of it, but they stayed in the area or were from the area or just so miss it that they listened to our show? Anything of the sort.
There's some chance. Sure.
Some chance.
Some chance. I don't know.
Anybody listening play for the Sabres? Marty sometimes listens.
Right. He's around.
Some of the more prominent alum, maybe. Or maybe Corey Tropp does.
Corey Tropp. Wow, is that ever good?
Corey Tropp. I'll start. Corey Tropp. Do you have anything?
I mean, I remember the player. He was sort of like a Coletta.
wanted to be that sort of guy. I think that was his blueprint. And I think health, he got, I remember him just getting banged up a lot. And I think there was really maybe one really nasty head hit that he took. That I don't know if that would have derailed his entire career or if it was going to derail anyway, but that's how I remember him as a player, like an aggressive player.
All right. That's a nice description.
All right.
For a guy, right? Like if he were listening,
grinder.
I think you should feel, you know, delighted to hear that description.
All right.
Corey Tropp.
Yep.
Couple names on X. Wayne Pressly.
All right.
Hound Dog. Your name's Pressly, you're going to be Hound Dog.
Right. Penalty killer, he and Hannon.
Nice player.
Yeah.
I think of him on Chicago.
Sure, me too. He was there before here. I don't know how many other places, but.
I used to listen to their games on the radio with Pat Foley, who may still be doing them. Like Bowen in Toronto and Pat Foley. And I was a Leaf fan. They played playoff series with Chicago, Norris Division. And Pat Foley just had a great sound. That stadium, too. Chicago Stadium, the horn and the organ and everything. I'm very happy to know that I've been there. I got there in my life, Chicago Stadium.
Good for you. Yeah.
But I think of Pressly and Dirk Graham, and now we're playing
Dirk Graham,
Blackhawk Rando,
right? Dirk Graham, yeah. How about Nathan Gerby for you?
We'll never forget the goal against the Flyers.
A little spinorama backhand.
Yep. Season finale to make the playoffs, which is the last time they did.
What a great, that was such a, I can still see us sitting there in the atrium at the arena. That was the night, it was the end of the season where Pegula had taken over like in February or something, ownership of the team. And they invited everyone who ever played even a single game, you were getting introduced. And I don't know how many hundreds of former Sabres were there, but there were a lot. Am I exaggerating with hundreds?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It was dozens,
I would say. There were a lot of dudes, and
they named every one of them.
Yeah. And they came out in jerseys, like the original white jerseys, as I remember. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And the fans were so excited about it. I don't know what was going on pregame involving all the alumni that were there, but I don't remember there ever, even for playoff games, being as many people up on that level between, like the you go up the first set of escalators, you know, the main 100 level, out there, it was just packed with people. It was so great, and I remember saying, "This we're finally over it. We're finally over the co-captains leaving in 07. This is it. It feels so good in here again. And, you know, of course, they made the playoffs and then it's been pretty much a disaster since.
Yeah, I mean, absolute disaster.
Yeah.
There's no nice word for it. I mean, that's 13 years ago.
Yeah.
But that goal, that was very special. No, I was in tears. I was in the building watching all the alumni and the names being read off, and it was just really, really good. Wouldn't mind something like that happening again, but I don't know. It has been so neglected, I think.
Yeah.
Doug Bodger, Vladimir Siplikov. We've got names. We've got Saber Rando is rolling here.
The late Vladimir Siplikov.
I think
he
so.
He passed away, yeah.
Liked Bodger.
Bodger, nice player.
Liked Siplikov.
That's the Mike Ramsey trade with Pittsburgh, I think, is how the Sabres got Bodger.
Yeah, like 90?
I don't remember the year, but
round
sure.
Then.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the hashtag, Mark. Football Friday violation. It so is. Yeah, right. I think we're going to be called in. It is Football Friday. We will talk to Paul Hamilton at 5:30 and then picks at 6. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.